the more you're going to be acquainted with their work, with the way that they operate. And it's important we understand that. So we're going to read a portion of scripture, very familiar. I'm sure I've preached on it before. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. How many are glad that the Lord asked you to come in your weakness? He didn't wait for us to be perfect. If he waited for that, there'd be no hope. Because we all have different ideas of perfection. So we'd all be wrong. Only God's way is perfect. I'm going to ask you to stand if you can for the reading of the word. Let's read it together because it's very familiar. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You may be seated. We're born, there's a labor into our birth, and if you don't think that maybe somebody in their prayer life didn't labor for you, you're wrong. Somebody had to labor somewhere. When I got saved, I had no clue as to who was a prayer warrior in my life. I know who might be one of them. I had no clue, but I knew that there had to be prayer. There had to be labor. And if the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night to pray for somebody, which he does on occasion, it could be someone you know, it could be someone you don't know. Eternity is going to be replete with the knowledge that your prayers touch somebody you never met, because that's how God applies it. We are going to be absolutely fascinated by how God weaves his work. I just love it. Can never get enough of it. There's labor and birth, and then there's education. The learning, which the Bible calls discipleship. How many like that word? Raise your hands if you like it. Okay. I noted mentally everyone who didn't raise their hand. I'm kidding. Discipleship, and I want you to highlight the word ship, is a vessel that will take you where God wants you to go. That's the ship. There is no other. It's not just a want to. It has to be a discipleship following the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So this particular portion of the Gospel of Matthew is right after Jesus is highlighting and really honoring John the Baptist. But he's also judging a couple of cities, the Bible said in the 21st, because they had miracles, they had all kinds of things. And the Bible says they didn't repent. They didn't turn to Jesus. History is also going to be replete in eternity with people that had a lot of healing and a lot of miracles, but they had no relationship. Those things should bring us to a relationship, not just we get our gift and then we leave the house. That's like getting a gift at Christmas and saying, thank you, I'll see you in another year. You don't really have any relationship to care to tender. You just want the gift. Well, the gift is Jesus, of course. So here, the Lord is inviting his followers into a deeper life with him. And everything about this portion is about the strength of Jesus versus the weakness that we have. Okay. You can follow with on the studies if you like. It begins with, come to me. Aren't you glad the Lord's not the one that goes out there and grabs you by the ear and says, get over here? It's an invitation. The grandest invitation of all is the invitation of God himself into a relationship with him. And it means, it is in the Greek, douta, and it means, in the imperative sense, it's actually a command. It's saying, come here, right here, come on. It's not really a request. Now, we have to yield to it, we have to make a decision. But God really is very strong here. He's saying, come over here. It's like he told Peter, get over here. Stand up. Get in that boat. He takes us to a place where we can't finish it. He has to finish it. Which is wonderful, because he always completes what he begins, doesn't he? So he says, who should come to him? Well, if you go to any cult, I'm telling you, they don't want you if you've got problems. If you go to a cult, they want perfect people. They would never tell you, come here, those who have heavy burdens, because they're not interested in meeting the burdens or taking care of the life. They're interested in what you do for them, okay? So when we're talking here about coming, he is referring totally to those who have a burden. And as we go along, it's going to say those who toil. And this Greek word that comes from kopia, it means to be have a load or a burden. And I see the word cope in this word. Only the Lord can help us cope with the burdens of life. Aren't you glad he knows how to do that? I'm so glad he does, because we have a lot of burdens. But then it goes on to say, and those that are burdened. See, you can have a burden and not be burdened. Did you know that? You can have a difficulty in life and still not feel underneath its power. There's a difference. This word here, burdened, fardasso, means to place a burden on someone, to load someone with a heavy burden. And if you visualized it, can't you just see somebody dumping a whole load on top of you, expecting you to carry it? This is really referring mostly to the Mosaic Law, to the traditions, and to the consciousness of sin that weigh people down and weighs down the mind and the spirit. Do you know why it's hard for people in religion to come along with any certain amount of grace and excitement? Because something's thrown on them that they don't want. And they throw upon people the weight of the law. They don't throw on the grace. And when something's thrown on like that, you can't carry it. So this is talking about how we feel, as opposed to the original burden, which is how we think and how we think about things. So if you're coming to the Lord and you're in this burden state, Lord wants to lift that one, because his burden is what? Light. You ever figured this out when you go grocery shopping? When it says something is light, it doesn't mean it's light in calories. Okay? It means it's light in color. Yeah, read the ingredients, folks. Yeah. Would be nice if it said no calories, but that'd be a lie. Anyhow, when it's talking here about this weight that's upon you, somebody else puts it on you, then what we tend to do is get mad at that person. You ever been mad at your parents or teachers or somebody in life that expected something of you and you just did not want that? There are people that are carrying around those feelings 40 years later. Time to get rid of that. Because God's thoughts toward us are for good, to give us a future and give us a hope. His thoughts are never to weigh us down or to bury us under something. He's actually the one that came to liberate us. So he says here, come unto me, you who are burdened, you toil and you are burdened, I will give you rest. Rest, the Greek word anapazo, means rest, and it can mean calm. I like the word pause in there. How many ever take your remote and you put the pause on? You know what it does? It keeps the picture in front of you, but there's no movement. You know what resting in the Lord does? Helps us to keep our eyes on the picture, which is Jesus Christ, because he doesn't change. His power and his ability do not change. And he better be the center of our pictures, because if we are, we're going to be depressed all the time, because we cannot accomplish what we'd like to do, but he can. So when he puts that rest in your soul, he puts that pause on that button, there's no movement, you can't see what he's doing, but you know he's still the picture. He is still. That's why the Bible says to look up and to keep your eyes on him, because he's never going to change. It is that sense of God that gives us a peace in the center of the struggles of life. That's really so important. Cannot be underestimated. As we go along, the scripture talks about Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." You know what a yoke is? It's where you have two animals and there's a crossbar and it's put over the shoulders so they can go together as one and they can do the work together and they shoulder and they bear that burden together. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." This is the yoke of Jesus. The crossbar, the horizontal, is the part that we're with, right? We help share that burden in this life. We are part of the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the body, the sacrifice body, which we're going to celebrate today, is the vertical part of that crossbar. And that brings together what? The cross. He takes the heavier part of everything. Absolutely. Now, the Bible does say, "Take my yoke on you." He doesn't throw it on you. You have to make a choice yourself. He's not going to push it on any of us, which is wonderful. But he says, "Take it. Take my yoke." Have you ever had somebody take a burden for you? Carry your burden? It's a remarkable thing. That's all the Lord is asking. And you know why he's asking it? Because when you're yoked together, you're walking as one person. And when you do that with the Lord, you can hear his heartbeat, you can hear his love for you, and you know that he's going to take the bulk of the weight because he has the strength we don't have. If you're going to try to live the Christian life on your own, good luck to you. We have to be yoked to the Master. There's no other way. And I'm so glad he invites us into that relationship, which is wonderful. Now, as we go down, Jesus is talking, and then he says, "Learn of me." Do you know what you learn about somebody? You learn up close. That's why before you get married, you think you know somebody. And all the married people are laughing. The dean of our Bible school always said that, you know, it's like going to bed with Rachel and waking up with Leah. You think you know what you're marrying. And surprise! Not quite so much. How are we going to learn more about Jesus unless we spend time with him? Unless we're yoked with him? Unless we see how he operates, right? So learn is from the Greek word mathēti, and it means to learn and to ascertain something. And I always like looking inside the word, and the word math is in there. What we learn about Jesus is he knows how to multiply. He knows how to divide our sorrows. He knows how to add the blessings. He knows all that. And he subtracts our sins. He's the greatest mathematician in history. And it includes the person, of course, who's the object of that knowledge. There are a lot of people I've heard through the years that have said, "Well, I have faith." Well, what do you have faith in? Or more importantly, who do you have faith in? Faith cannot be alone. It has to have an object in order for it to survive. So it has to be in somebody. You can have faith in yourself, which will get you only so far, but your faith in Jesus will get you to eternity safely. So, what are we learning about Jesus? And how is our discipleship multiplying and adding to his grace and to his blessing in our life? That's the question, isn't it? I was reading a portion of scripture in the Old Testament. And it was talking in Isaiah 54. He says, "I learned as a disciple." And this Hebrew word, limud, it means to have insight into discipleship, to be taught unto discipleship and accustomed to something. You're only accustomed to that which you spend time around. If you don't spend time with somebody, you're not going to be accustomed to them. You're always going to be kind of a little leery. You're never going to quite know how they operate or how they think. You kind of know their ways. That's what the Lord wants. Like the yoke perspective, it reminds us a disciple is one yoked and connected to Jesus, and within that relationship becomes accustomed to the spirituals. Being yoked to him is not, by the way, it's not a tightness. It's not going to strangle you. It's actually going to control your life, because God is in the seat controlling it. The next portion is talking about, again, you will find rest. That word rest, again, anapausa. But it means, the word find here is the Greek word that means nerisko, and I like the word risk is in the middle. Do you know it takes a risk to discover and to find and to search? When you're searching the scriptures, that these things be so, that you're searching your personal walk with Christ, it takes a risk to do that. But it says here to discover. I love that word, to discover and find. If you're going to search for something, you're going to search till you find it. Otherwise, you're still on a search. You will find, you'll discover rest. Isn't that one of the most important things that we need in today's world? We're on the phones. I mean, there isn't anywhere you can't look in your house where you don't have something to do. Right? Then you got everybody asking you to do stuff, and you got people on your little TV asking you, do this, do that, do that. By the time you're done, you don't even know if you got anything done you're interested in doing, much less what the Lord wants us to do. It's a very busy world. Our souls must come to rest. Because if they're not at rest, what happens? What's your doctor going to tell you if you're not at rest? You're going to be like Lil in the hospital, because it's going to bounce all over the place. Wanted at rest, at peace. So continuing on here, he says, I want you to find rest for your souls. Soul is the Greek word psychias, and it comes from psyche, meaning the breath and to blow. It's your individual personality is what the soul is. Your spirit is the house of God. That's where the Lord lives. Your body, obviously, is the physical vessel. Your soul is the character and the nature of you as a person, and it is unique in its place. It is the port of life for you. Therefore, God's rest can give us contentment in our minds and in our beings. And he can go deep into your life and say, Angela, I want to give you a rest in your being, who you are. And it's a wonderful thing. Number one, to know God knows us. And number two, to know he wants a rest. And by the way, you can be busy and still have rest in your soul. I'm not telling you to lay down and sleep for 500 years. You can be busy in the physical and have rest in your soul. Absolutely. And that's important. The next pain. Because my burden is light and it's easy. Easy is the Greek word kresto. Reminds me of toothpaste. I don't know about anyone else. But of course you'll have a good smile because God give you rest. But it means good and serviceable and useful. Light is the Greek word elaphros. That means easy to bear and not burdensome. Now why is our burden heavy and Jesus' burden is light? Wouldn't you think it'd be the other way around? The burden of the world and the sacrifice of the cross is heavier than our particular situation? Let me explain what the problem is. When we get flesh involved, it's dead weight. Even if you're serving God, if it's in the flesh, it is dead weight. It's going to hang you all the way down. And you're going to wonder, what in the world am I hanging on to? Because it's all dependent on you or me. And when that happens, we're looking to ourselves. We're not looking to Him. And the more we look to ourselves as the source, the tighter and the weightier it becomes. Why is Jesus' burden for the entire world lighter than ours? Because He's already solved the problem. Remember the crossbar and the vertical? It's already done. We need to find rest in that as a believer. And that is the great discipleship. Working and traveling on His Majesty's vessel, which is what we're supposed to do as a believer. Now, our burdens, God knows, and He wants to heal them and restore them. And there are just simply some we need to just cast off and get rid of because they are literally weighing us down. These can be burdens of the week, sometimes. They're burdens of a lifetime. You ever go to someone's house after they pass away and there's a estate sale and all the stuff that people save? And you look at that house and you go, how'd you breathe in here? There's so much stuff. It's phenomenal. Well, that's what happens when we don't lay our burdens down. We just keep accruing. Now, Jesus has already solved the sin problem. He's already given us a relationship to Him. But that doesn't mean we don't still hold up things and we build them up in our life. And we just shove them on a shelf and say, well, I'll deal with it later. And we never do. Because something else comes up and takes the place of another shelf. And all we do is keep building up shelves. And we have a lot more dead weight. Lord wants to clear out a lot of shelves, I can guarantee you. Because in order to serve Him, the enemy's going to pluck on top of everything we have and everything we are. And if we are carrying dead weight, it is going to be very heavy. So we need to let Jesus throw it off. And we're going to sing the great hymn, More About Jesus.
Jesus, more about Jesus.
We're going to go into communion. I'm going to ask you to stand if you can. First Corinthians 11, 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Please be seated. You know, we have in our restaurants and in our life, we go to buffets and we enjoy them. And we go to sit-down dinners, and those are lovely. You know what communion is? It's a sit-down. It's when the Lord provides the menu and when he gave it to each one of us. And as I was praying this week, it's going to be a little different today for communion. Okay, I've not done this before in the service, but there's a first time for everything. Today's going to be that. I'm going to come out and serve it personally. Okay, while we have music, worship playing. I didn't tell Bev, I didn't tell anybody, really, because I wasn't sure how the Lord was going to work it. So I told Jan that when I knew, she'd know. That would be right now. Okay. But I am going to ask as we begin, Pastor Dennis, if you'd come up and serve communion to me. And then I will come out and serve communion.